Okay, come and gather round. Thoroughly enjoyed my coffee and Twix. Or was it a jive? Welcome back, everybody. And a special welcome if you have joined us during coffee. It's really good to have you with us. Thanks so much for coming. This is Gareth and Claire, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
We're really grateful to have Gareth and Claire with us this weekend. Guy, would you be happy to ceremonially turn the music down? Is that okay? This is Guy's favourite bit when I ask him to do that. Oh, thanks, Paul. Paul can do it too. Felt like one of those events where there's music playing in the background. So this is Gareth and Claire. They've come all the way from Sheffield to be with us across the Pennines. For those who've just joined us, Gareth and Claire, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
We are a family up in Sheffield. We have four biological kids and two foster daughters. We work for the church mostly. I'm a teacher by training, and Gareth's a youth and families worker, and we've been doing that for years. He was a dentist originally, but then became a youth and families worker.
I like to think of it as a promotion. Our main role now is developing support for other families, children and youth workers, but we are plugged into a small smallish church, 120 people in Sheffield, 10 years old, and we love our church family there as well. Is that enough?
One more question. What makes you so passionate about supporting parents and grandparents and church families and kind of helping the next generation know God?
I think for me, when I had kids, so as a youth worker, I was out to save, you know, the young people of Sheffield in the surrounding area that are where we worked, without any thought for parents. In fact, they probably got in the way a little bit of what I was sort of wanting to do. But as soon as we had children, realised very quickly that actually the best job I could do was probably to sort of step back and support parents in doing the job that biblically they've been given, to bring their children up in the training and instruction of Christ, to tell them about a good God who loves them very much. So the only way I could be a youth worker was winning would be to have parents at home who were winning as far as bringing their kids up with Christ. So that's what it is for me. Any different for you?
No, I think parenting's really hard, and we're not on our own. And I think, like, spending time with parents is a great way of just saying we're all in this together, and we're all like learning from God together about how to be good parents. So.
Fab, thank you. Let's pray, and then we'll hand over. Father God, thank you once again for this time together. Thank you for your grace towards us in so many ways. Please give us soft hearts now as we engage with your word, as we listen to Gareth and Claire and their wisdom, and as we discuss things with one another. Please give us more grace, and Father, pray that this time together will be really good for us, and for the children and young people in our church family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to take a bit of a 3D structure. Anybody remember these glasses? Yeah, that was the day, wasn't it? It's a lot better than that these days. But we're going to do a discover, discern, decide type thinking as we go through this session. First of all, we're going to discover how parents... The whole subject is, I can't remember whether we put this on the publicity or not, is parenting in weakness. So we're going to have a little think about what do parents feel generally about whether they're good at being parents, bad at being parents, whether they're failures, whether they're weak. So we'll have a little think about that, discover what people are saying, then discern what God has to say in his word about weakness, and particularly in the context of parenting. And then it's sort of over to you. So with those two things in mind, decide, you know, have a good chat about it and work out what it is that you're going to do and how you're going to face the weaknesses maybe you feel in your parenting. As far as timing is concerned, it says quarter past just about. We're going to aim for an hour. Is that about right? Yeah. I think there's going to be a little interview at the end. We'll give you some sort of maybe more resources that you might plug into. And then we'll have lunch, go for a walk or something like that. So that's where we're going to go. First of all, though, on your tables, you will find a little pile of envelopes. And I'd love you to play envelope roulette. There should be enough for everybody to, almost everybody. You've got a few, there's five envelopes, I think. Pick an envelope, get one person to open it, and answer the question inside, just to get you thinking about the subject.
Discuss one or more of these questions. When have you felt most exhausted as a parent? How can feeling weak as a parent be a good thing? And when in the last month have you felt weak as a parent? Press pause on the recording.
Okay, sorry if you didn't get to your one. You can do it over coffee later on. Now, I know not everybody here is going to have kids, but I hope that was I should have sort of suggested that, you know, you thought about when you were a kid, or I don't know, anyway. But it's great that there are different people here as well. I hope you'll be able to sort of share the wisdom around and share the support around as well. But how do parents actually feel? Do they feel adequate or inadequate? Waterwipes did a survey of more than 13,000 parents around the world to tap into the pressures that parents face every day. And the not-so-surprising results were that nearly half of parents, 55%, felt like they were failing within their first year of parenthood. And there are millions of ways that we can get it wrong as parents, aren't they? I went online to search out for stats, and I put in parents feeling failures statistics. And rather than finding how parents feel, I just found a whole lot of stuff on Google that pointed at parents and said, you are failing. Apparently, half of parents fail to spot obesity. One quarter of parents are overprotective. Parents fail to address their children's delinquent behavior. They fail to use sunscreen effectively. Many parents fail to prepare their children for financial realities of an independent future. There was stuff about absent fathers, working mothers, the trauma of separation and divorce, and there was even one site that suggested individuals who failed in parenting should be punished. So, as a parent, there's lots of expectation. So it's not surprising that parents feel failures.
So in your envelope discussion groups, we're guessing, if you were honest, then you've probably recognised some of the vulnerability and weakness and failure in your own lives. Some of you will feel it really acutely. Some of you may have hinted at some of the difficulties that you have, or you've got it in your mind. Others of you might be just too ashamed and hiding things that are going on, whichever category you fit into. And I think I can span all three, depending on who I'm with. The reality is that parenting is hard. The world does judge people, and we all get it wrong, and we don't know what to do as mums and dads. From our lives, we got to a pretty low point with our 18-year-old son. Well, he's not 18 now, he's 28, but when he was 18, when his conclusion to our parenting was, nothing I ever do for you is good enough. And I think that for me was just like, we've totally failed. We've spent 18 years and we've got to this point and we failed him.
They can tell us cruel truths, can't we, our children? One of our other children once fed into our fear of failing as good Christian parents by announcing, I'm not really bothered with God at the moment. It's tough. Weakness and failure are very real and common things in parenting. So what should we do when weakness and failure jumps up and bites us? Because it definitely will. Here's a spoiler alert as to what the rest of the session is going to say. Failure and the feeling of weakness is not a bad thing. In fact, it can be a super good thing. It's a little bit like what we were saying earlier on, isn't it? It's something that we've grown to realize as parents and as Christians is actually a really good thing. Failure and the feeling of weakness, not a bad thing. In fact, it can be a super good thing. There's some questions here with that in mind. have 5 minutes.
Three questions to discuss. First of all, what are your knee-jerk go-tos when you feel weak? Secondly, what have you learned from your failures in parenting? And then thirdly, in what ways might weakness be a good thing for a parent? Press pause on the recording.
Okay. So we've discovered where you're at and where parents are at when it comes to weakness and failing. What does God's word have to say about these things? To help us unpick being a weak parent and recognizing that it's a good thing, we're going to take a whistle-stop tour through 2 Corinthians and check out Paul's teaching about leaders. We're certain that those principles that Paul explains about leaderships do apply directly to mums and dads as they disciple and lead in their families. Paul tells the Corinthians that weak Christian leaders are so much better than the super apostles that the popular culture thought were the bee's knees. And in the same way for children, weak parents are much better than the perfect ones the world says we should be or the ones we might hope we would be. So we're going to dive bomb into the book and discover 4 benefits of weakness.
So firstly, weakness forces you to go to God. You may remember that list in 2 Corinthians where Paul goes through all the things that he's gone through. Imprisonment, severe floggings, beatings with rods and stones, shipwrecks, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, the worry about churches, the things he hasn't faced danger from are hardly worth even mentioning. I just wonder whether as parents we could write a similar, I mean maybe not so life-threatening kind of list, but still a significant list of things that we're struggling with. So, I don't know, stuck in the house, changes in work and in friendships, sleepless nights like Paul, similar worries of responsibility for people, dangers from fear, anxiety, bankruptcy, or others who want to influence us and our kids. That's a huge one for nowadays.
And when those things loom large and your knees start to sort of go weak, take a leaf out of Paul's introduction to 2 Corinthians 1. He says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of comfort, who comforts us in our troubles." So when Ollie jumps off something and hurts himself, which happens quite a lot, or Kez, our university student daughter, starts to cry down the phone from university, or Paige has a baby, or is really grumpy, or is really sort of struggling with her mental health and seems not to love me, what should I do? Rather than crawl into a dark corner and worry about what I've done wrong or how on earth I'm going to be able to work at helping them.
I remember walking in a local park where I live one afternoon, and I had Ollie as a baby feeling just really isolated and alone, and everyone in the park seemed to be walking by with their friends, chatting to their sort of other mums or dads, and I just felt very isolated. And I think that problem was that experiencing that pushed me into a kind of anxious, okay, I'm going to organize my life so I'm not alone in that, you know, outside. I'm going to have lots of people. I'm going to be really organized. And I think, looking back, I kind of missed out on turning to God and experiencing the comfort that he was wanting to give me and his presence with me and that peace that I could have got from just knowing that he is with me and I don't have to be constantly like with all these other mums all the time.
And 2 Corinthians is a letter that reminds everyone that you can only really know God's comfort if you're actually suffering. Do you get that? God comforts in troubles. And in order to claim that comfort, you need to actually have the troubles or admit the troubles anyway. Where this verse takes us, that's into God's loving, strong arms, makes it worth admitting that we are weak parents. Benefit number one, go to a compassionate God who comforts. Weakness forces us to do that. Number 2, weakness brings comfort to others.
We all believe here that parenting is a total joy, but it's also a burden and a joy to be enjoyed together. So we need to be talking and sharing and listening as Christian mums and dads. And I wonder if you've noticed the people you find easiest to talk to about your parenting troubles. It's not those who seem to be perfect parents, is it? Paul's intro concludes, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God."
So Paul says that his experience of weakness helps others think about it. You know, when you're in the midst of pain or shame or fragility, or you're feeling feeble or rubbish or weak, you don't want a strong super nanny type parent to tell you what to do. Rather, someone who knows what it's like, who's taken on those troubles and taken them to an almighty, powerful, good God.
Yeah, I think, in all honesty, I would say that the best times I've had talking to people, whether they're, you know, wives or kids or other parents or anybody, is when I've been vulnerable with them first, because I've been struggling. And I think once I was talking to one of my teenagers, girls, and she was really struggling with getting totally distracted with Pinterest and just looking at stuff all the time and spending ages doing it and coveting things. And I think I was sort of able to share with her my lack of sort of self-control with like eating, like comfort eating when I'm sad or just want to eat the whole time. And I think that sharing those vulnerabilities together and getting her to see that we're all the same, adults and children, we all struggle with the same kind of sins, and being able to sit and just pray together for self-control and discipline was a really good connecting point. And, you know, just with our teenagers generally, that me sharing my vulnerability. And, you know, the same has happened with lots of other situations with, you know, fostering our parents of our foster kids. You know, they feel they're really struggling and they're feeling they're failing, but we're failing. We're struggling with the same things as that they're struggling with their children. Like trying to get angry about screens and how much their kids are on screens. We struggle with that. We struggled all the time. And so just being able to share that first enables people then to open up in a way that they wouldn't open up if you don't, you know, not sharing those vulnerabilities.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he goes on, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." And get this, because this is really important. Children who feel pain and shame and weakness are less likely to talk to a parent who's perfect, who they've never seen be troubled and never seen run to God for compassion. So, weakness forces you to go to a compassionate God who comforts. Weakness brings comfort to others. And benefit number three, weakness shows that the power is from God.
So Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul reminds the Corinthians of this most clearly. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Imagine this picture of home life in a house with a toddler and a new baby. Now, this is a long time ago for us, but it's still vivid memories. The alarm is set for 7, but Dad is up at 5, dosing up with caffeine and supervising chaos in the lounge. There are lots of shh, as he doesn't want Mum woken up. She's been feeding every 30 minutes through the night. He's on autopilot on his way back, on his way to work, and she sits bleary-eyed at the desk trying falteringly to explain Sunday's sermon to a colleague who seems interested.
That was a he. At the same time, she's juggling the house, a baby, crazy two-year-old, non-Christian friends who want to meet up and chat about that gently evangelistic book she's supposed to have read but hasn't. She vaguely remembers romance.
He's treasurer and plays guitar at church and hates the fact that the quiet time he loved have all but gone out the window. A quickly grabbed, "Please God help me," prayer is often all he's able to manage.
She wants to organise child-friendly Christian activities and speak of Jesus to her kids, but is lucky if she makes it through the mayhem with a quick grace at tea time.
At 6 o'clock, they feed the kids, grab something themselves, manage to watch 15 minutes of a box set that's taken a year to get through because the baby cries. They kiss goodnight, drop onto the pillow thinking about making ends meet financially, say a prayer, thanks God for getting us through today, all the while knowing that they won't be asleep for that long. And this is God's plan?
What do our kids and others see when they look at our lives shot through with tears and illness and troubles and anxieties and arguments? Well, what they don't think is they don't think, my dad can handle anything on his own, he's amazing. Or if I just had all the gifts and skills and capacity of my mum, I would be fine. This principle of jars of clay is the one that God uses weak people, not gifted people, not brilliant people, not able super Christians, just flawed sinners in a broken world who are relying on him. They're the people he uses. That way, when things work out, the only explanation is God must have been doing it. Wouldn't it be brilliant to have kids who grow up experiencing struggles as normal and in those struggles to experience God's comfort and help and power? That's something I want to rely on and show my children I'm relying on, so I've modeled it to them very well.
So let's just summarize. Weakness forces us to go to a compassionate God who comforts us. It brings comfort to other people, especially kids. It shows children that the power is only from God. And benefit number four is that weakness stops you being a too proud parent. Have you ever met those parents who are just so keen to tell you all that their family do and just love their list of achievements that their children are doing? Here's an example of what I mean from Outnumbered.
Caught me in my nightie.
Oops.
Just saving the planet. The kids insist. You know what they're like. What are you up to today?
Oh, you know, just vegging.
Oh, lucky you. Martin and I have to take the kids on this charity walk. And then on the cycle back, we've got to pick up a friend so they can be a proper string quartet. Then we've got to finish making our puppet theatre. And I've promised they can watch The Sound of Music tonight. We let them watch TV on Sundays as a special treat.
Oh, we ban all TV on a Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, so we can do things together, you know, as a family.
Oh, that's a brilliant
idea. Cheerio. Bye.
Hang on.
In those moments, the temptation is often to compete, just like the lady with the towel on her head. But it's just pride, really, and that's not good. So God, in his kindness, makes us weak. Here's the thorn in the side bit from 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Weakness kept Paul from being conceited. Family is one of those idols is easy to miss sometimes.
Tim Keller does this great thing to help you spot your idols, and he says, look, have a think about what makes you the most happy, what upsets you the most when it goes wrong, what you spend your money on, and where your mind goes when you're daydreaming. And he says, if you can answer, as you answer those questions, those things are most likely to be your idols. And I can definitely do that with families on every single one. So I'm most happy when my family's most happy. I'm saddened when they are being foolish and awkward and just plain annoying, unlike the other children in my church family. I'm most happy when I can pay for giving them tuition and clubs so they're able to be a success in life, so I can prove that I'm a success as a parent as well. And when I daydream, one of the daydreams of mine was just this amazing family, extended family who are around me at Christmas as the sort of proud patriarch of this great family that I have. Our families matter to us and we want to be proud of them, but we should never make them idols. So our good God sends us thorn in the side to stop us becoming proud. Kids who are actually annoying
they're sinners too. That stops us becoming proud. Or maybe the way in which your children embarrass you, or they're just nasty sometimes. Or what about the children who don't meet your expectations? Or the friends' children who seem to be just much more sorted and win the races at school? What should we do when those things happen? Well, here was what a desperately pleading Paul heard from God and his reaction to it. "My grace is sufficient for you," God says, "for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." Failure and the feeling of weakness is not a bad thing. In fact, it can be a super good thing. Especially when you decide, or your spouse or your friend or your child see you relying on and displaying God's perfect power. Weakness forces you to go to God, brings comfort to others, shows your kids God's power and other people too, and stops you becoming proud. So, we've reached decide. Here's a chance for you to chat and hopefully help each other decide how this weakness thing might work out in practice. There's some questions there. Have a little bit longer this time, because there's quite a few questions. How's it going to work out for you? There you go. 10 minutes. You can have 10 minutes. There you go.
Here's some questions to think about. What weaknesses do you or could you share with your children? How might you do this? Has your family experienced any benefits from times of weakness? If your children were asked, what do mum and dad rely on the most, what do you think they would say? When has pride unhelpfully affected your parenting, and how is God helping you trust his plans over your own? And finally, what might be helpful ways of talking to your child if you're ill, or if they spot you crying, or if you're really just tired and can't face things? Press pause on the recording.
Can I just say, I know not everybody here is a mum or a dad, or may not have ever been a mum or a dad. It's been great to have you on board as well. You know, part of what we're doing this weekend, I think our big sort of banner was, we're all in this together. So thank you so much for being part of this. Thank you for listening and plugging in. And I pray you'll continue to sort of plug in and help parents be reminded that weakness can be a really good thing, because it means you're turning back to God, and it's a great thing to sort of work on together. So thanks very much for coming in and being involved in that. I wanted to flag up some books just before we finish, mainly because they've been on my shelf for ages, and also they're super cheap at the moment, so not 8 quid, not 7 quid, not even 6 quid. You can have them for fiver, and you can have the father one for three, fatherhood one for 3 quid. Just quickly, my sister was talking about talking every day to your kids. Thank you very much. I think this is one of the biggest things that we can do, and this book by John Yuntz, Everyday Talk, encourages us to do that. It's just sort of get in amongst the day. You don't have to be sort of doing the big organized thing. So just what my sister was saying over there. Shepherding a Child's Heart, great book to sort of not just discipline your kids and get them to sort of do the right thing. It's do the right thing for the right reasons. He's really annoying, Ted Tripp is, because he just asks the right question of his kids, which if you just wish, you know, you could wish him he was with you, and you can be whispering in your ear when your kids have done a certain thing and you ask just the right question. But try that one. Age of Opportunity, we're talking about sort of teenage kids. And I think one view is that we just get them through from, you know, 13 to 18, and hopefully they might have survived. Well, this says, no, this is an age of opportunity. This is where you can begin to together pick apart those things that are coming at them in the culture and in their own hearts. So try that one as well. Fatherhood for dads, and Homeward Bound is, it's a bit more of a chunky read, but I think a great one for families. So do try any of those. We've just about finished there, but just to remind you, weakness itself isn't a sin. But pretending that you're not weak and that you don't need to be reliant on God is a sin, isn't it?
And we're just going to finish with this quote that Gareth read on a blog the other day from an Australian pastor called Adam Ramsey. The gospel means that I am not all that awesome, but I am loved, and that's awesome. The gospel frees me to be honest about the ways I fall short instead of being crushed by them, because it reminds me that Jesus was crushed for me. The gospel means I don't have to hide, because the good news of what the holy and all-knowing Savior on the cross is true for me too. The gospel means I don't need to impress, because Christ has eternally secured for me the smile of my Maker.
Great. why don't we just spend 1 minute praying for responding well to being weak, failing parents?